I don't know whether you've noticed, but it's almost impossible to walk down any high street in any town in England lately without being accosted by somebody with a clipboard doing market research into usually some product or other. And if you go down a high street and see somebody hoving into view with their clipboard ready to pounce on you, most of us look down and try to give the person a wide berth. I am one of those strange people who rather likes being stopped by people with clipboards in the high street, and so when I see them, I try to catch their eye. Which means, of course, that they give me a wide berth. So there's a little tip, okay? A counterintuitive way of avoiding these people. A couple of years ago, I was walking down the high street and I was stopped by somebody with their clipboard doing market research into something or other. It was my day off, so well, obviously I wasn't dressed like this, but neither did I have on a clerical collar. There was nothing to give me away as a clergyman in the Church of England, apart, of course, I'm sure my sisters and brothers will agree with me, apart, of course, from the natural aura of holiness that all clergy have. So she stops me. I mean, what she really wants to ask me, what's your job and how much do you earn? But this is still England, and you don't ask strangers vulgar questions like that. But she does want to fit me into one of these kind of social categories. Are you a B2 or a D3, whatever it is, for her market research? So she comes at the whole thing from a different angle. And she asks me a load of other questions so she can build up some kind of profile on me. Anyway, one of the questions was this. There we were, standing in the street. She says to me, "What would you like to be more than anything else? What would you like to be more than anything else?" Now that, I'm sure you'll agree, is an interesting question. In fact, I think that I may have spent rather too much of my life pondering on this interesting question. What would you... You know, I was one of those boys at school who was the dreamer staring out of the window when I should have been getting on with the work. So, I mean, if you'd have... I don't know how old the youngest candidates are. How old are you? 11. Right, okay. When I was 11, if you'd have said to me, "What do you want to be more than anything else?" I would have answered without hesitation, and I would have said, "I want to be a footballer." More than anything else, I wanted to be a footballer. My granddad took me to White Hart Lane when I was about 7 years old, and I've always been a fan of the mighty Spurs, and I think this could be at last our season. I can see there is some unbelievers in the congregation. I'm available. If there's any Arsenal fans here, I'm available for healing and prayer after the service. Yet more than anything else, that's what I wanted. Anyway, a few years goes by. I know some of the candidates are teenagers. I won't ask you how old you are. Very rude. When I was about, 15, 16, if you'd have said to me then, "What do you want to be more than anything else?" Again, I could have answered you. Much to my parents' irritation, I had packed in the piano lessons. I'd bought myself a guitar. And more than anything else, I wanted to be a rock and roll star. In fact, I still want to be a rock and roll star. But sadly, as you will have noticed, my career has taken a turn for the worse when it comes to rock and roll stardom. But yeah, that's what I wanted more than anything else. And those of you who are the younger candidates or the teenage candidates, don't think the adults sitting alongside you have stopped dreaming. Because all of us carry in our heads dreams of what we might do if we weren't doing this, things that we want for ourselves, maybe some regrets that we didn't take that opportunity when it came. We carry that through with us. Anyway, have you ever had this experience, okay? Somebody asks you a question, You answer the question, and your answer is what you really believe. But when you say it, you're kind of surprised by your own answer. It comes from so deep within you that you think, where did that come from? So anyway, there we are in the street. She says to me, what would you like to be more than anything else? And I replied, oh, a saint. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? And she, this is marvellous, this, she's looking down her clipboard because this wasn't one of the answers on her list. So she says to me, that isn't really what I meant. But for me, standing there in the street, it is a moment of revelation. Because I stand there, and I'm a slow learner, but it dawns on me. That is what I want more than anything else. It's what I want for my life more than anything else. And by happy coincidence, it's what God wants for my life more than anything else. Now, better give a word of explanation. I don't know what goes through your head when you hear the word saint. Now, some people, when they hear the word saint, they have a picture in their mind of some stained glass, super, impossibly perfect kind of Christian person. That's not what I think when I hear the word saint. Not least for the fact that most of the people we read about in the Bible, even those who were the great leaders of the first church, were a pretty muddled, motley band of human beings. No, I think a saint is this. A saint is someone who has become the person they are meant to be. And therefore, being a saint does not exclude you from being some of these other things. You can be a saint and a footballer and a saint and a rock and roll star and possibly even a saint and a bishop, though that's a lot harder. Now, a saint is someone who has become the person God wants them to be. And I suppose that's what I want to say to those of you being confirmed more than anything else. I want you to know that you may think you're here this evening because of decisions that you have taken in your life. And yes, of course, to a certain extent that is true. You are here to take your stand, to make these promises to God. But I also want you to know that you are here because God wants you to be here, because He has called you to be here, because He has known you and loved you from the very first moment of your being. And that God has a purpose for your life. And what God wants to do is He wants to change you. And that can be quite a frightening thought. But the good news of the Christian faith is that God doesn't want to change you into somebody else. That's what the world offers. In fact, in our world today, it is impossible not just to walk down any high street, but to open any magazine, to switch on the computer, to switch on the television, to drive 100 yards down the road, and you are literally bombarded with images of what you ought to be like. And it usually tells you what you're going to have to purchase to get to be like that. And it's a particular tough thing for young people growing up today. Though let's face it, the rest of us aren't immune from this. And the world is kind of saying to us, you know, if you get the right designer label, and if you get, you know, the right eau de cologne, and if you drive the right car, and let's face it, some of us, let's be honest, some of us have in our lives committed the grave and sinful error of growing old, losing your hair, and putting on weight. Brothers and sisters, these things can be changed. You can purchase some plastic surgery and some new body parts and get a Wayne Rooney on your head. You can purchase your way to happiness. You can change yourself, says the world. And none of it works. Or actually, to be more precise, it works just enough to get you hooked. And sometimes I think that in Britain today, we've become a nation of junkies. Hooked on the idea that purchasing and consuming can buy you happiness. And the wonderful good news of the Christian faith for our world today, and I don't much like the soundbite culture that we live in, but if you pushed me into a corner after the service and said, well, come on then, Bishop, what is the soundbite for the Christian faith for today's world, I'd say this. In Christ, you can become yourself. You can become the person you are meant to be. You can be set free from all those beguiling, seductive, but ultimately destructive fantasies that the world sells us. You can become you in and through Jesus Christ. Because the Christian faith teaches us this, that you can only be the person you are meant to be when you live your life in communion with God. And the wonderful good news of the Christian faith is that in Jesus Christ, communion with God is possible and available. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't really matter how good or how bad you are, because when it comes to God's standards, we all fall short. Indeed, Jesus himself says that tax collectors and prostitutes are getting into the kingdom ahead of us. Why? Because often it's those sorts of people, very aware of their need of God, who turn to God with penitent hearts, asking that he may receive them. Brothers and sisters, if that's what you do today, if you come to Jesus today and say, well, here I am, Lord, I turn to you, then he will welcome you into his kingdom. You will have a place this day and forever around his table. His spirit will start to do its stuff in you, and you will become the person you are meant to be, that the image of Christ will be revealed in you, that you will become what the scriptures call a saint. Not an impossibly perfect person, but a sinner taking the cure. Somebody who has invited Jesus into their life so that his life may be revealed in your life, and that you might find the joy, the peace, the stability, the hope that the human heart longs for and our world so desperately needs. So, those of you being confirmed, what would you like to be more than anything else? What do you truly long for? What does your heart truly desire? And I want to say to you that if in Jesus Christ you have just caught a glimpse, even the tiniest glimpse of God's great love for you, of his purpose for your life, and if you're able to say yes to that question I'm going to put to you in a few moments, do you turn to Christ? If you're able to say yes to that, then I can assure you that as you make these promises here on earth, the saints and the angels are giving it some welly up in heaven. Because there is great, great rejoicing when we turn from self, turn from the seductions of the world, and find our true peace and our true home in Jesus Christ. At his name, every knee shall bend. And every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.